and the Ad Council.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Takedown of an ISIS cell senior leader, but it wasn't the U.S. who killed the Kabul bombing mastermind. 13 U.S. service members and some 170 Afghans died in the 2021 airport attack. CBS's David Martin.
One of the dead was Marine Staff Sergeant Taylor Hoover. His father just got a call from the Marine Corps.
Explained to us that the leader of the ISIS cell that was responsible for the bombing was killed by the Taliban.
It happened earlier this month in fighting between the Taliban and ISIS. The U.S. found out through its own intelligence sources.
There's concern in California that historic rain and snowfall will now cause massive flooding. Governor Gavin Newsom surveyed ongoing flooding of the Tulare Basin in the southern San Joaquin Valley.
We're standing, likely will be underwater in a matter of weeks, if not months. And so that's very sobering in every way, shape, or form.
President Biden and his South Korean counterpart pay respects at the Korean War Memorial after first laying a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at Arlington National Cemetery. The stops came before formal White House meetings, part of President Yoon's six-day tour of the U.S. In New York City, a jury begins hearing a former advice columnist lawsuit against former President Trump of raping her in the 1990s. Trump, who was not in court today, says E. Jean Carroll fabricated the claim to sell a 2019 memoir. Former federal prosecutor Cheryl Bader.
Think about what the jurors are going to think. Right? Here they are, they're taking their time out to sit on this jury, and he doesn't even show up to court.
Singer Ed Sheeran appears in a New York courtroom accused of ripping off a Marvin Gaye soul classic. WCBS-TV's Dave Carlin.
The 32-year-old took the stand late Tuesday afternoon and testified he did not copy from Gaye's hit. He maintains it was art, not theft, and he did not violate copyright laws.
Harry Belafonte has died of congestive heart failure. He was 96. Fellow civil rights activists are remembering him as a legendary voice for social justice. CBS's Allison Keyes reports.
National Urban League president and CEO Mark Morial says Harry Belafonte was a legend for far more than his award-winning entertainment career.
He will be remembered for organizing other entertainers, other celebrities, other musicians, other actors.
Into the civil rights movement dating back to the 1960s. Morial agrees with civil rights leader Andrew Young that Belafonte became more radical with age.
He did not mince his words. He probably did get more strident, but it was heartfelt.
Allison Keyes, CBS News.
Stocks fall on Wall Street. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and maximum success with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
I can't wait for what's next. Even with higher stroke risk due to atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem, Eliquis, apixaban tablets, reduces stroke risk. It's the number one cardiologist-prescribed blood thinner.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without talking to your doctor, as this may increase your risk of stroke. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or have antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or unusual bruising, or if you have tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. It may increase your bleeding risk if you take medicines such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Bug Tussle has been your trusted rural internet provider since 2003. Based in Wisconsin and backed by local support, Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet where others can't or won't. At an honest price, without any contracts or data caps, Bug Tussle has the plan that's right for you. Get connected with Bug Tussle today for internet, cellular, and entertainment by calling 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924. Or visit btussle.com.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know.
Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, April 26th. In Wood County, the North Central Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission will meet at 11 a.m. at the Wausau Entrepreneurial and Education Center in the large meeting room. The Wisconsin Rapids Housing Authority will hold their regular monthly meeting at 1:30 p.m. in the community room of the Huntington House Apartments. In Portage County, the Public Safety Emergency Management Committee will meet at 8 a.m. The Solid Waste Management Board will meet at 4 p.m. to request to attend the PFAS in Wisconsin Conference in Wausau on May 2nd. In Adams County, the ARPA Work Group will meet from 9 to 11 a.m. at the Adams County Courthouse. In sports, the Packers and Jets have a trade agreement for Aaron Rodgers. The Bucks face playoff elimination after last night's loss to Miami. The Brewers fell to Detroit. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 29 overnight under partly cloudy skies, northeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again tomorrow, highs level off around 54. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered rain showers, lows level off around 38. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 42.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. That's how
it goes. Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Scobody boom boom. Scobody dog.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Are you Team Biden? Are you Team Trump? Or are you Team fill in the blank? Because as of right now, as of officially this morning, it's looking like Biden v. Trump. But that's not to say there's not other people running. It's still a long time from now.
It is.
But Biden officially, after months of not dragging his feet, because I think it was inevitable, but, you know, there's been a lot of buildup and anticipation. The day is finally upon us. President Biden has announced his run for his second term in 2024 by releasing a 3-minute video this morning. And I want to just hear your thoughts. Are you excited about this? Or is it the default candidate for you? Are you anyone but? 844-967-2789. Jane Matinair, how are you feeling about it this morning?
Well, like you said, I feel it was inevitable. And I just don't feel that there's any other Democrat right now who's going to try and primary him. This Robert Kennedy,
are,
I know.
There are two. I know. There are two.
But Robert Kennedy Jr. is cuckoo.
So fun story about Robert Kennedy Jr. and my family. So yesterday, I don't know if you saw that he tweeted out. So all of the, you know, there's all this speculation on Tucker Carlson and what was the last straw. And like, is it more about this lawsuit from Abby Grossberg or the Dominion case or all of it? And so my brother sends me one of Robert Kennedy Jr.'s tweets yesterday, who he is convinced it's because Tucker Carlson had him on his show and they were talking about the vaccine. So Big Pharma got in Fox's ear. And it's because of Robert Kennedy Jr. that Tucker Carlson got canned.
Gosh, it's gotta be kind of nice, I guess, to believe that much in your own self-importance.
Right? What is it like? What is it like just to think that everything revolves around you?
Yeah, that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, but then there's also obviously Marianne Williamson.
And oh,
then,
I forgot about her.
You know, she's out there with her crystals. Life coachiness. Yeah. And the truth that's so funny, I actually think Marianne Williamson's probably a lovely person to have dinner with and is probably a warm, wonderful, good-hearted person. I just don't think she should be president.
I find that I cannot disagree with you.
Right?
Yeah.
And then obviously for Republicans, people who have announced so far are Nikki Haley, Vivek Ramaswamy. Did I pronounce that correctly?
That sounds correct, yes.
And Asa Hutchinson. Asa, who's, you know, if we're talking about old, is almost as old as Trump and Biden. He would be 74 on Inauguration Day.
No spring chicken still, either.
And then still waiting for DeSantis, Pence, Scott. I don't think any other Democrats. I've heard rumblings as far as Joe Manchin.
He's not a he's not a Democrat.
He's not a Democrat. I don't know. I don't. And I do you think anyone would run as an independent?
I don't. I really don't.
I mean, there's all this like no labels party stuff happening. So I think it feels like my point is it feels very much in this moment at this snapshot, Trump versus Biden, which I don't think anyone is necessarily excited about. Well, that's not true. There's probably some people who are very excited about Trump and some people who are probably very excited about Biden. But I think the masses, it's been polled again and again and again that we would like someone younger. We don't necessarily want a repeat of 2020, but I guess if this is the hand that we're going to be dealt, where do you fall as of today? 844-967-2789.
Dexter from the 262 says, I am Team Bernie, but if I have to choose between Trump and Biden, it'll be Biden every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Yeah. God, I didn't even think about Bernie.
Bernie's not going to run again.
Bernie won't run. Bernie won't primary Biden.
I don't see that happening.
I don't see that happening either. But yeah, it's such a funny thing as far as how this goes with the primaries, where you just, and it goes back to that metaphor as far as candidates, no matter how small and local or even the president, if you think about them as a bus versus an Uber ride. So basically, you know, they're a bus that gets you closer to where you want to go, not necessarily exactly to the destination you're trying to get to like an Uber ride would. But, you know, in light of it not being your perfect candidate who agrees with on everything. And their past is squeaky clean and nothing that makes you go, ugh. There's just those candidates don't exist. And so I've always loved that metaphor as candidates. Or a bus. They are not a taxi.
That's a really good point, though. It is. And of course, we would all like everything that we all want. And that just isn't the way that it happens when you live in a country with 330 million people.
I don't think it happens in a country where you have 4 million people.
Yeah, right?
Like, I'm not sure Luxembourg, necessarily everyone who lives there just agrees on everything.
They all talk every night when they vacuum the country. It's very small.
Very small. And also, they're just rolling all the money that they have there. And it's perfect. So how are you feeling this morning with Biden's announcement? 844-967-2789. We do have some of the audio from the video he released. A lot of it's visual, but we're going to play some of the parts that actually have some of the message I think you can probably count on for what he's going to be focusing his platform on.
Freedom, personal freedom, is fundamental to who we are as Americans.
There's nothing more important, nothing more sacred.
That's been the work of my first term, to fight for our democracy.
This shouldn't be a red or blue issue.
To protect our rights, to make sure that everyone in this country is treated equally and that everyone is given a fair shot at making it. But you know, around the country, MAGA extremists are lining up to take on those bedrock freedoms, cutting Social Security that you paid for your entire life while cutting taxes for the very wealthy, dictating what healthcare decisions women can make, banning books, and telling people who they can love, all while making it more difficult for you to be able to vote.
And it started off with the music at the very beginning. There was footage of the January 6th attack at the Capitol. Mm-hmm. That's what he kicked off with.
And I think what stand the two couple quotes that stand out to me is the question we are facing is whether in the years ahead we have more freedom or less freedom, more rights or fewer, and saying that freedom, personal freedom, is fundamental to who we are as American. There's nothing more important, nothing more sacred. And how interesting is it that, and I agree with that, right? Like, I think, so much of the cultural attacks on whether it's race or women's rights or LGBTQ that feel like rights are being taken away in the name of morality and a specific religion's morality and who gets to decide that for everyone else. But it's so in the face of the part, you know, in the party of freedom. And I also just lament that this is where we're at, that both parties, and you can probably bicker over who started it. And it's not that it's new.
No,
right?
It's
divide
not.
And conquer. Divide and conquer has been a tactic always, right? In order to divide us instead of rising up and having a class war, right? But in reality, so much of this is not new. But it's interesting because I was at a birthday party on Saturday night, and I was talking to a mutual friend of our friend, and he's a Republican conservative, and we don't ever see each other. It's really interesting to have conversations.
I bet.
And I think about it also when we have CJ on, and on Friday, we're going to have one of the people from IRG that focuses on school reform. And so he's obviously going to have probably a more conservative view policy on school reform for K-12 and stuff like that. So it's like how unfortunate it is that we can't debate on policy and instead are debating on people's right to exist and live the life that they want to live. Yeah. And I think it's interesting that Biden is putting that so front center in his first announcement of, we will defend everything that you feel like is under attack right now, and putting culture and personal freedoms right at the forefront. It's not fiscal policy. It's not foreign policy. It's not, I guess a little Social Security was in there, but very much what some of us, I think, that pay attention to some of the stuff that's happening in Florida and Texas and some of these states where it feels just egregious what's been passing on state level, at the state level in some of these states, that, you know, would be mirrored federally if they had the votes and they had the presidency. So, I mean, like, as far as I, you know, I don't think it's probably a big surprise. I'm not necessarily out there being like beating the Biden drum and I can't wait to go campaign for him. But if he's a candidate and Trump's the candidate, there's no way in hell I'm voting for Trump.
And don't you think, too, that this is just indicative of how successful these issues were in getting the youth vote out, especially this past spring and especially here in Wisconsin? And you know that these campaigns have to be looking at that and going, well, that seems like a winner.
Like, what are we going to do? Oh, well, oh, yeah.
To get them out.
The Democratic side.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
To get them out.
Well, yeah. And I think I was listening on Todd Elbow's show before they ended and we kicked off. There's new data or new poll out as far as for left-leaning Democrats, depending on their age, how hopeful they feel about the future. And I don't think they polled you, though, because I know that you're one of the most cynical people I know. But people in your age range, James.
Oh, they're optimists?
Still pretty hopeful.
Oh, that's
but
good.
People, younger Democrats, not as hopeful. But, you know, running on some of this other stuff that people are the most worried about, probably not a bad strategy. But what say you? 844-967-2789. How are you feeling about what is shaping, what is looking like it's going to be the 2020 redo of Biden versus Trump? 844-967-2789. We'll be back in just a moment.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James Help Seth pick the next theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope, to give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Shake, 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 Sinora, shake your body, Lina. R.I.P. Harry Belafonte. But, you know, I guess he was old, and I think he died. It sounds like he died very peacefully.
He was 96.
96. 96. Not a bad run.
No, that's a great run. He was a wonderful entertainer, a wonderful activist, just seems like a pretty wonderful human being.
Yeah. And certainly, I think it's, you know, that song is so famous. Thank you, Beetlejuice. But his activism is really, I think, the average person maybe not as familiar with as far as what he did through music also.
Oh, yeah.
To push forward civil rights, black rights. And also, I mean, he was involved in activism up until he died. I know when I was kind of volunteering with Women's March back in 2018. One of the main leaders from that was really involved in an organization he started. And as far as like the rhythm, and they were, you know, they'd always reference the rhythm of the music and how the justice is tied into music and everything like that. And so I was sad to hear that this morning, but 96 is nothing to sneeze at.
Rest in peace, Harry Belafonte. 844-967-2789. We're taking your calls and or your texts. President Biden announcing this morning that he is going to be running for a second term. So how are you feeling about that? Are you excited? Are you like, oi? 844-967-2789. 262, my big takeaway is that we need someone under 65 years old to run. Ah, Jane, what are you doing for the next 4 years? You know, a listener asked me about running for politics many, many years ago. And my response has always been the same, although I don't know that it's applicable anymore. But my response was always, I have so many skeletons in my closet that I had to put in bunk beds. But it doesn't seem like anything in anyone's past anymore has any bearing on whether or not they're electable. There used to be things that you could shame people for. And I don't know that those exist anymore.
Do you think they don't exist for men or for everybody?
That is a very good point, Kristen Bry.
Because have we seen any women run who have questionable pasts as far as did they bend the rules? Did they break the law? Did they do any of the things that Jane did in her 20s and 30s and maybe even 40s and survive an election? Because I just still think
there's a double standard.
It's rough to be. Everything I've heard is just it's rough to be a woman in politics. I think it seems harder in the GOP. And I think my evidence of that is just look at the discrepancy of leaders in each party as far as how many are women versus men. As we've said, there are more men named Mike heading committees in Congress than there are women. And in the roundup in Wisconsin of what happened after the spring election, there were more men quoted in that article named Mark than there were women. And so I would say one party feels a little bit harder than the other as far as rising up the ranks. But I think it's hard no matter what.
Absolutely.
As far as what standard you're held to. And the compromise between being likable but being tough. You're tough, but you're also likable.
Well, thank you. On some days, I try. 844-967-2789 from the 414. While I may prefer a younger Democrat in the White House, I can live with Biden. And another text, this one from the 715. I really wish we had a stronger Democratic candidate. Many say age is not a factor, but let's be honest, it is. I think his candidacy weakens the Democrats and gives Trump a boost and another fighting chance, sadly.
And is that, I mean, it's funny because Trump's only 4 years younger than him. So I don't know. It's not like we're getting some spring chicken on the Republican side that has a lot more energy than or better health than Trump, if it ends up being Trump.
Well, seriously, put those two men side to side. Joe Biden still rides a bicycle regularly. Donald Trump rides a golf cart. I mean, there is no comparison, at least as far as I don't think is to their physical fitness.
Yeah, well, it's that, but it's just I think it's a bad argument as so long as Trump is the opponent. I don't think it's like, all right, there's a 4 year difference that at that point becomes negligible, right? It's like the dating gap is like the older you get, the less that age gap actually matters, right?
Well, and as you said, Asa Hutchinson, who's tossed his hat in the ring, he's not a young man.
No. And so I think there's that. But the only thing that on its face, and who knows how much this will change, we're still very, you know, you think about this at this point, the Republican this early in 2015, even 2015, when it was a super crowded field for Republicans, no one took Trump seriously. And then even at this point in the Democratic, in 2019, the Democratic primary, Biden was like middle of the pack, right? As far as, you know, the 25 people that were running at one point, I'm not sure it was a no brainer that Biden was going to be the guy. And it like, as of right now, all polling shows Trump is the front runner by a lot.
Yep.
As
Poor
much
Ron
as
DeSantis.
Ron DeSantis isn't really close to him though, as far as polling goes.
No, I know.
And so, oh, you said poor Ron
I
DeSantis.
I said poor Ron, yes.
I thought you said or
no.
Ron DeSantis. I don't know. He's got a lot of work to do.
Popo Ron.
But yeah, so I mean, this will certainly not be the last time that we talk about it, probably even this week. But for now, Biden is running officially. We'll see where the campaign goes and we'll see if he debates his primary contenders. I don't think that will happen, but you never know. All right, when we come back, a little late to the game, but we're going to talk about that abortion pills for now are safe. And Ron Johnson has thoughts on a referendum and thinks he knows where the public stands on this issue. So we will talk about that when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
CBS News Brief. The Taliban have killed the...
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
It'd be great if life came with a remote control. You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind. Like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control. Yikes! So you're on your own with the WASPs. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Chris Domine is a husband and a father. Chris is an athlete. Chris is even an Ironman. But 10 years ago, Chris was facing a very different story because his kidneys were failing.
Basically, the doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant and if you don't do dialysis, you are going to die.
Fortunately, Chris received a second chance at life, made possible by an organ donor.
You know, your well-being changes from loss of hope to better times ahead.
More than 100 million people in America are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors. People of every age and ethnicity, because they believe it's the right thing to do. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps, truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Peyton's Promise finds another way to help local communities fight food insecurity. With their Change for Good campaign, the volunteer organization will collect change at the Wausau Children's Festival on May 13th. Often, food donations they receive are outdated and they're not able to use them in food pantries. The monetary donations will let organizers purchase exactly what is needed for each pantry they help. People who donate will receive raffle tickets at the festival. Wisconsin Assembly Republicans are trying again today to require people on Badger Care Plus to renew their status with the state every 6 months instead of automatically re-enrolling. With student enrollment down, school districts in Racine, Wausau, Superior, and La Crosse are among those with plans to close or combine schools. The Wisconsin Policy Forum reports the 2020-21 school year was the seventh year in a row that public school enrollment was down in Wisconsin. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 29 overnight under partly cloudy skies, northeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again. Tomorrow, highs level off around 54. Cloudy skies expected. Tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered rain showers. Lows level off around 38. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 42.
Rages on. So apparently they did something sane for once, or not for once, but you know, as of recently.
Yep.
And they blocked the nonsense restrictions that lower courts wanted to impose on the pill while the case proceeds. But to be clear, like, they could have dismissed the case entirely.
Yeah, but they didn't do that.
But they did not do that.
No.
Alito and Thomas wrote they would have let the restrictions take effect. And Alito argued that there was no, quote, threat of any real harm if access to the abortion pill was restricted while the case proceeded.
That does not seem accurate.
Does not seem accurate, considering the amount of people who use that drug for other things besides an abortion.
Like miscarriages.
For miscarriages.
Yes.
And yes. And so just a reminder that Alito is also the judge who said 10 months ago, when he wrote his opinion overturning Roe v. Wade, that abortion should be an issue for states to decide, which clearly turned out to be false and disingenuous.
And can I point to one other thing about our fine Justice Alito? That
sure.
In his opinion in overturning Roe, he cites Sir Matthew Hale, a jurist from the 17th century who believed that husbands can't be prosecuted for raping their wives, who sentenced women to death as witches, and whose misogyny stood out even for his own time in the 1600s. And it just makes me think, and I was listening to Devil's Advocates yesterday, and it was Dom and Maggie Dawn, and he just doesn't like women.
He just doesn't like women.
Sam Alito just doesn't like us.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty simple, straightforward thought for me. But
and also, they had a caller who was talking about going back to the good old days. For me, when I look at Justice Alito, the good old days were the 16th century. That's when life was kicking, man.
And what was the caller referencing to be the good old days?
Well, they couldn't get him to specify because, was it Loving versus Virginia was in 1967? I mean, where interracial couples were allowed to marry. So this isn't that long ago. And
no,
and,
I mean,
women could
think about in your lifetime, when could you finally get a credit card without having your husband's approval?
Well, I was able to do that. My sisters, my sisters who are 10 years older couldn't.
Yeah.
And right. I mean, there were all kinds of things that are relatively recent developments.
Yes. It's within your lifetime, my mother's lifetime, but certainly a lot of my mom's best friends are 10 years older than her. Like, I think people forget how far we've come as far as when you divorce, your ability to keep your children, like no fault divorce. It used to be legal to rape and beat your wife. Like, there's so much that we've, and so this just goes back to what are the good old days, and when Make America Great Again is your slogan, for whom?
Yeah. And where do you want to go back to?
Yes. And so it's just, you know, Friday's ruling, while it's fine for now, it doesn't mean that abortion pills are safe in the long run. It's only that the challenge didn't work this time.
Right.
So activists are certainly, I mean, there's no sign that they are getting the political message that this is wildly unpopular politically, and that they're going to keep throwing spaghetti at the wall until they find something that sticks. And, you know, this very case, because he didn't dismiss it, could end up back at the Supreme Court. And so, like, there's a chance, like, I would say likely because of politics, SCOTUS won't take up this case until October 2024 and will dodge this being part of the presidential campaign. Because obviously, if they were to rule on this in the way that probably the majority would want to rule, it would be a disaster for the 2024 presidential election.
Right.
But for now,
it's still available.
It's available.
Right.
It is still available. But our senior senator has some thoughts on where he feels like we should be, or where he is at in the abortion discussion. Because yesterday there was a hour-long Milwaukee Press Club event Monday afternoon where he took people's questions. And one of the top topics, I think, coming out of that was that he is urging Republicans to take the lead on the issue of abortion and has once again pushed for a referendum to decide the legality of the procedure in Wisconsin. Reminder that for a referendum, a binding referendum, to be on, to go to a vote to voters, it has to pass during two successive sessions. So basically, they would have to pass it. The legislature would have to pass it this session, which isn't going to happen.
No.
And then they'd have to pass it again in the next session, and then it could go on the ballot. So it really feels like an option that, while in theory may sound great, but is not very fast, to say the least.
This could take forever. And I think that's one thing that I find really distressing about this is there is so little incentive for these Republican politicians and predominantly male Republican politicians to do anything that is going to help women who are facing really difficult, painful choices. It's infuriating. It's just like, yeah, we'll get around to it. You know, in the meantime, if you have to go out of state, you know, in the meantime, if you get septic, well, it's just part of life. I guess you just have to deal with it, ladies.
Just got to deal with it. Suck it up.
Yeah.
Toughen up.
Toughen up. Exactly.
Toughen up. But I think the thing that stuck out to me, so despite again and again and again, all of the polling, all of the votes, like whether it's other ballot initiatives in other states, whether it was the midterms, whether it was, I mean, I guess he did get reelected, so maybe that's where his brain is. But for the most part, I think it's becoming common knowledge that the majority is not with the anti-abortion folks. And yet he thinks it's just crazy to think that people are going to vote for this. And so he thinks that the majority of the people are going to vote for a 12-week ban, despite every indication that people, the majority, is not there.
It's kind of remarkable how you can, he's got to have a great filtration system. So only news that agrees with his point ever approaches him. You know, I mean, these polls have been around for quite a while, especially the statewide polls about Wisconsinites' opinion on abortion and abortion access. It's not new news.
It's not new news. What's funny about the press conference from yesterday, but do you remember Brandon Brown, who we had on the show over the summer? He was my wedding photographer.
Oh, yeah.
But he also was a former evangelical youth pastor.
Yes.
So I get a picture from him yesterday via text that he's there. And so he was actually at the event yesterday. I don't know if he was taking pictures on contract or exactly what he was doing, but he got to ask a question and he sent me a video of him asking a question, which was basically, you know, like, I grew up, I was a huge Republican. I was the one in my family who introduced Rush Limbaugh to everyone in my family. And I'm not there now, but the way that you always are demonizing the left and how radical we are and how we're the crazy ones and we're like, how do you expect for us to ever work together or like come together? And he totally dodged the question. Like, he basically was like, I have to disagree with how you are classifying how I talk about the other side, but I just think it's crazy that they would do blah, 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 blah. And so I was like, good for you. That was a good question.
Absolutely.
Cause I think he so often talks out of this both sides of his mouth of everything's so divisive, we need to come together. And then the way he categorizes and stereotypes the scary left and all the crazy stuff he thinks that they're trying to do. It's like, well, that isn't, is that the way that you think that we're going to actually come together? Or do we just need to agree to with you to come together?
Ding, 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 ding. I think you're onto something there. I think you're onto something.
Maybe.
Rojo just needs a reminder that his party is the one with the Jewish space laser lady. She's yours. She's all yours.
I mean, I guess technically, though, that we also, because this is what's funny. So there was, I think Bill Glauber wrote up for Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, kind of the major takeaways from the press club event. And one of them was, speaking of Robert F. Kennedy, who was running on the, as a contender for the primary, for the presidential
nomination.
Democratic. Yep. Yeah. The nomination. Because he's a huge anti-vaxxer, basically. I guess he is from the Kennedy reign, but he is also a huge, huge anti-vaxxer. And I guess Ron Johnson listened to Robert F. Kennedy's 2-hour announcement speech. And he offered yesterday, he offered some praise for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And said that they both, because they've both been very skeptical about the COVID-19 vaccine program. So I guess it's not that there's some crazy Democrats on
there, no question,
that side as well.
That's true. Fair enough. Fair enough assessment.
Fair enough.
We, but, however, do not have the Jewish space lasers. That's particularly...
Jewish space lasers.
Yeah. No.
God. But some of the other key takeaways from Rojo's event yesterday, he once again dismissed the importance of climate change.
And really, I mean, basically just blew it off. This is a fantasy. It doesn't exist.
So this is the full quote. I mean, it's just crazy what we're doing. But why are we doing it? Again, it's to create a state of fear so individuals can gain control and power over our lives. It's a loss of freedom. That's all this is about. How can we take an issue, scare you know what out of people, and take people's freedom away? I don't get it. You know, I don't want to control anybody's life like some people do.
Wait. Say that again and say it slower, please.
I don't want control of anybody's life like some people do.
Oh, that's good to know, Ron. That's reassuring. And as far as making people afraid, you know what scares people, Senator Johnson? Getting forced out of their homes through flooding. Getting forced out of their homes because they have to evacuate because of fires. Getting forced out of their homes because their entire community has been devastated by a tornado. Those are scary things.
Those are scary things.
Yeah.
He also called Joe Biden corrupt and pushed for impeachments of key administration officials. He accused Hunter Biden and his family of influence peddling and charged Biden Family Incorporated and sells the Biden family name and certainly compromises the presidency.
What?
But he also said that even though Biden is corrupt, it wouldn't be practical to impeach him.
Is he familiar with the Trump family? Has he met any of those people?
I know.
That put their names on everything to sell? It's remarkable.
And then finally, what about running for another term? Oh. In 2017, Johnson made a pledge to serve only 2 terms. But in mounting his latest campaign, he said circumstances had changed when he decided to run again and did win his 3rd term. So would he keep running for his seat in 2028? And he said, I certainly learned in 2022 to never say never.
Yeah. Well, okay. He's running.
All right. When we come back, some good news. Vacant homes across Milwaukee are going to be renovated and turned into affordable housing. And I think this sounds like an excellent program that should be replicated. So stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Papa, Daddy, don't you worry, Nana, 'cause Mama's got the pill. Daddy, don't you worry, Nana, 'cause Mama's got the pill.
Fear you may be missing out?
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists, in their own words.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg, blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broken too. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal.
brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
All my babies coming home tomorrow. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And there's some topics that I feel like will become recurring themes on this show because they are recurring themes across the state right now. I think childcare is certainly a big one. It's huge. And I am trying to find the best people to bring on to actually talk about it, to both talk about solutions, to talk about, I don't know, creative solutions, governmental solutions, private sector solutions, just because it is, I don't care what part of the state you live in. I don't care what part of the country you live in. It is bad.
It's terrible. It's terrible. And very, yeah, very expensive.
And yesterday we talked to Dr. Ben Weston about opioids, which I think is affecting people. And I don't think it is affecting people across the state. But also affordable housing is not just a problem in Milwaukee. It's not just a problem in Madison. It's a problem across the entire state. I know a friend of mine who's a journalist is working on a story as far as what Eau Claire looks like right now.
Oh, really?
That Eau Claire's housing market looks like Minneapolis's, except the median income is very, very different in the two cities. But yet houses, because there's just not enough houses. There's not enough supply. And so I heard about this program that's happening in Milwaukee, but I just mentioned it's not because Milwaukee's figured it out, but I just think it's a program that potentially maybe could be replicated because it sounds, I think, in similar when we talked to Missy Hughes, who's the CEO of WEDC, and what their Main Street Bounce Back program looked like, and we talk about what is available and what are good ways to fill empty spaces. Empty storefronts. Yeah. So that was the Main Street Bounce Back program. And, you know, giving grants to small businesses so long as they filled the main streets. And for so many communities, that's been huge, is kind of reviving the feel and the vibrancy of downtowns. And so now in Milwaukee, there are vacant homes across Milwaukee are going to be renovated and turned into affordable housing. And so the program is called Homes MKE, and it's a new initiative out of the Department of City Development. And it's going to support the renovation of up to 150 vacant foreclosed homes across 23 different Milwaukee neighborhoods.
Wow. That's great.
And yeah, so the vacant homes are going to be renovated by development teams that the city selected last year. And the development companies, many of which are local and minority owned, are going to receive rehabilitation and workforce subsidies to help with the renovation. And then the developers will then have three options. They can sell those properties at affordable rates to homebuyers, provide a lease-to-own option, or rent the properties at affordable rates with income restrictions. And so the program is funded by $15 million in ARPA funds, so American Rescue Plan Act funds, and it formally kicked off in Lindsay Heights, in the Lindsay Heights neighborhood on Wednesday. And I just think that sounds like a really good plan. It's like it's houses that are sitting there empty anyways.
Exactly.
And sometimes those empty houses can foster illicit behavior.
That can be
as far as people squatting and doing
bad things. Those can be empty houses can be a blight to a neighborhood.
And so the fact that there is, and people need homes. And so this feels like a win-win-win all the way around. I'm actually interested to see if Habitat for Humanity is involved in this at all, as far as, because that is part, I mean, it's, for them, it's not just building homes from scratch. It's also going in and renovating, especially renovating with people who will own the home, right?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we're going to be talking to the Waukesha Habitat for Humanity next week. Actually, we're going to be stopping out in the site and picking up some hammers, and because they're working on their project too. So we will check on that.
So on the opposite side of the state, some other good news, I guess, is that opposite? Who would be the opposite from Milwaukee? Maybe Bayfield. Is Bayfield not quite kitty corner, but it's pretty close.
It's pretty close.
But a small town shout out, Bayfield, which has a population of 590. That was very small, was just named the fourth best coastal small town in America by USA Today.
Well done, Bayfield. I love that town. Love it.
I have not been to Bayfield yet. It's on my bucket list. Ashland and Bayfield are definitely on my bucket list, but I have not been there yet. What is it like, Jane?
It's just going to sound like a cliche, but it's cutesy. And it's nostalgic because obviously the harbor there was the big attraction that everything built up around. So it still has kind of that harbory feel and lots of cute little shops and some fabulous restaurants. And there are some great old homes and a very artisan community as well. Lots of artists.
Does it feel touristy?
Well, sure. I mean, if you're going to be there in the summertime, yeah. And they have an apple festival that I think draws something like 50,000 people. It's insane.
Where do they all stay?
They stay everywhere. Yeah, they stay everywhere. But that is
I can't even imagine what it's like to try to host that many people you're that small of a community.
In a little community like that. But that is in fall. One of my sisters and I went up there a couple of years ago and stayed for about a week at Ole and Lena's.
Nice.
Yeah, it was great.
Well, we'll have to get up there. We'll add that to the bucket list. Although you and I were talking yesterday as far as shout out to Hayward.
Oh, yeah.
I think we are planting the seeds of making it up there for the Lumberjack World Championship at the end of July. I've cleared it with my husband as far as, hey, how do you feel about going up to Hayward? And so we have to clear it with the powers that be of our bosses, because we do have a station.
We do.
Up in Hayward.
We do.
And that seems like one of the most fun times to go to Hayward. I've never been to a lumberjack competition, let alone the world championship.
I know.
Competition. And so I am hoping that we can make it up there this summer, and then maybe we'll get some other up north
road trips.
Road trips up there. But another fun fact about Bayfield is a 50 block area of the 167-year-old town is listed on the National Register of Historic Places.
Oh, it is.
I would think a 50 block area is like the entire town if it's only 590 people.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Pretty much
all of Bayfield.
Got it. All right. Well, coming up in the next hour, bye-bye Aaron Rodgers. We're going to talk about it. I felt like it was at the end of the day when it came across my timeline that I was like, oh, it's done. It's here. And so we'll decompress on our feelings about him switching shades of green. We'll also have a little bit of a rant about the Bucks, because that was
ugly,
embarrassing. And then at 12:30, Peter Cameron, who is the managing editor of The Badger Project, which is a nonpartisan, nonprofit investigative journalism outlet, they just published kind of their rundown on the largest, biggest lobbyists in Wisconsin. So we're going to talk to them about who's spending the most money in Madison. So stick around after the top of the hour news. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Man, man, ain't that news. My baby's coming home tomorrow. Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news. Good news. Good news.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time.
text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5